Welcome once again to another podcast from myself, John Ferguson, minister at Petercooter Church. And I'd like to begin today with a reading from Psalm 80, part of Psalm 80, from verse 3. The psalmist says, "Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. O Lord God Almighty, how long will your anger smoulder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us a source of contention to our neighbours, and our enemies mock us. Restore us, O God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its boughs to the sea, its shoots as far as the river. Why have you broken down its walls, so that all who pass by pick its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it, and the creatures of the field feed on it. Return to us, O God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine, the root your right hand has planted, the sun you have raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down. It is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the son of man you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. Amen." At the beginning of the Bible, in the Old Testament, we read these familiar words: "In the beginning, God created the world and saw that it was good." And yet, of course, it's not good in the sense that we don't live in a perfect world. Our planet has fault lines that cause great tectonic plates to collide, that leads to earthquakes and destruction and human suffering. We have volcanoes, hurricanes, cyclones, flooding, drought. And of course, at the moment, the whole world is coping with the deadly coronavirus. In recent times, one of the worst natural disasters was the 2004 tsunami in Southeast Asia. It's thought that around 230 to 280,000 people in 14 countries lost their lives. Whole villages were swept away. Many people stood no chance against the power of the waves. That event was a reminder of the awesome power of nature, that we can dam rivers and build skyscrapers. We can go to the moon. We can do amazing things. But sometimes nature needs only a split second to remind us that we are small and insignificant in the face of its overwhelming power. In so many ways, I think that the coronavirus has reminded us of how fragile our lives are and how dependent we are on events that are beyond our control, overwhelming us. So we live in a very dangerous, unpredictable, sometimes terrifying planet. And some scientists say that the more that they study the Earth and the universe, the more they're struck by this imbalance of power between humanity and creation. One scientist has said that nature is much more powerful, and we have precious little ability to influence what happens at that scale. "It's a deeply humbling experience," he said. "We are able to control a tiny amount of energy compared to the natural energy events going on in the universe." And so you could say that we have much to be humble about. And sometimes natural disasters, events like the virus beyond our control, can test our faith. People will ask, if we as Christians believe that God is the creator of the universe, why on earth did he not do a better job? Surely God doesn't want many people to perish and suffer such terrible loss in natural disasters. Surely God does not want to see people suffering amidst this terrible virus. So why did this loving and powerful God not prevent it all happening in the first place? In the Old Testament, the answer was very simple. The people had sinned and God was punishing them. As we heard just now in Psalm 80, the psalmist says, "How long will your anger smoulder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful." In the book of Job, Job's friends were adamant that Job's suffering was caused by his sins, although Job himself was adamant that he had done nothing wrong. Today, Christians no longer believe in a God who punishes us by sending us disasters. We believe instead in a God of love who sent his Son to be the world's saviour. But if we believe this, why do religious believers still pray for God's help and healing? Yes, they ask for God's action to come into a situation and change it, but they don't see prayer as a plea for magical solutions that will make the world totally safe for them, that will somehow magically change the laws of nature so that when natural disasters occur, nobody will get hurt. Instead, what they look for from God is to encourage and sustain us, comfort and strengthen us amidst times of disaster and human suffering. And we also seek God's encouragement and help as we appreciate that in the face of disaster, a response that any human being can give is to seek to help if they can. Every natural disaster that's taken place that I can think of in my lifetime has always been one in which the response has been human compassion, human sacrifice, bravery, and love. Now, a humanist would say that that's just a human response. That's just what people do. But a believer would say this is God's hand at work. This is his response to human suffering. God gives us the gifts that we need to overcome, to help, to heal, to save. And the interesting thing is that those who are most deeply involved in helping other people are so often the ones who maybe spend the least time and energy enraging over the fact that we lack explanations about why these things take place. For believers, somehow amidst disasters, amidst terrible human suffering, God simply emerges for them as a faithful presence. Arguments for and against, arguments about the nature of God, arguments about why bad things happen to good people, all have to be put in the context of that awkward, stubborn persistence of still believing in a God of love, despite all the reasons not to. Amen. I'll just say a short prayer now. Let us pray. Loving Lord God, we give thanks to you for this amazing and wonderful world, a world that you have created, a world of great wonder and joy, but a world also in which there is so much suffering, a world in which there are natural disasters, in which illnesses like cancer take away people's lives prematurely, a world in which the coronavirus has caused untold suffering across the planet. Lord God, we pray today for those who are crying out, why? For those who are angry with you, for those who blame you, and ask why you don't do something about it. Lord, remind us that you have, that you sent your Son to show us how to respond to suffering, to show us what love is truly all about. You sent your Son to guide us, lead us by example, and teach us through his wonderful teachings about the values of your kingdom. So, Lord God, we give you thanks for the life, the death, and the rising again of Jesus, our Saviour. And Lord, we pray today for all those who are suffering, for those caught up in situations beyond their control. We pray for all those who are experiencing a time of anxiety, a time where they are fearful about the future. We pray for those who feel under terrible pressure and find that they can barely cope day by day. Lord, sustain those who are ill and in pain. Sustain the bereaved and all who are experiencing the loss of someone dear to them. Comfort those under pressure because they've lost their job, because their income has suddenly stopped, or because their job is under threat. Sustain those who have experienced difficulty in relationships, those for whom a relationship has gone sour. Be with those, Lord, who are lonely and feel isolated, especially during the lockdown. Please comfort all those, Lord, who need to know of your healing strength and love this day and every day. Loving God, we bring our prayers to you in the name and for the sake of our risen Saviour, Jesus Christ our Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.